Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready, folks. Great show coming your way tonight. Everybody, 9/11 Experience broadcast coming your way. Thanks for coming in, everybody. Experience show. To the broadcast, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? We got the microphone working. It's so great that we got the microphone working tonight for this great show this evening. Thank you so much. This is a live show. It's been a while, folks. It's been a while. I think the last live show was July. I have been doing a lot, helping my dad, caregiving, doing a lot of stuff the past couple of weeks, but you've heard the best of Joey Giggles the last few weeks, and I hope you've enjoyed those shows as much as I enjoyed putting them together for you. So, you know, I'm excited to be here. We're also going to be simulcasting the story tonight on Instagram. That's for other people on Instagram that want to listen to my 9/11 story. Usually I don't simulcast when I'm on BIRN, but since this is the 9/11 show, which we've had two 9/11 shows back to back last year and this year live on BIRN, so we are going to simulcast this because a lot of people like the 9/11 show. And that's the only reason why we're going to simulcast this on Instagram. But when it comes down to it, I want to thank everybody for coming in. This is BIRN, Brain Injury Radio Network. And this is one awesome network. 20 great hosts. We want everybody to come in and listen to all the great hosts that we have here. 7 days a week, everybody. 7 days a week we're here. And we are so excited to bring in great shows, great research, great education, great guests. And we want you to come on in, call in, join us in our chat room, and be a part and be interactive with us. We want interaction. It's so important to have interaction, folks. And I just want everybody to know I'm excited to be on BIRN. Thank you so much for being a part of my life, BIRN. And I tell you, since the very beginning, I mean, we're here almost 8 years we're here. This is, we're working on our 8th year now, full. Looking forward to being here 10 years and then maybe 15 years. It was awesome, you know, getting that call saying BIRN wanted me to be a host here. And I'm excited to bring you all the different shows that I do. Usually the 9/11 show is on other networks, but since it is our time here from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I planned on having the show right now for all of you. That's right. This is my experience, what I experienced on 9/11. And, you know, BIRN seems to love this show. A lot of people listen to it. A lot of people listen to the archive of it. Seems to get a lot of listens, and, you know, just really excited to be here to tell you my story. This is my story. You know, it's not anybody else's story. I think it's very important that people understand that when we talk about experience, we're talking from the five senses, okay? We're talking from sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste, okay? And all the five senses were working the day of 9/11. And honestly, you don't forget it. You don't forget it because all the senses remember what you dealt with during that period of time. You know, and when it comes down to it, guys, I tell you, I did not forget any part of my experience. I've even remembered even more description of my time in New York City on 9/11. It was a very sad day. It was a scary day. I tell you, it was a scary day. I would have to say that was the only time in my life that I felt scared for my life. The only time in my life that I felt scared for my life. And even with all these other challenges that have just come up, I wasn't scared. But I was scared on 9/11. I thought they were going to blow up my building. I thought they were going to blow up Midtown Manhattan. It was just a scary day overall. And I was out in the open. And I was a sitting duck, just like the rest of the people in New York. So many people in New York City that day. I'm going to go through this story. and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you get something out of it. You know, this is an important story for me to tell because it helps me with my PTSD. I have had PTSD since 9/11. I've been working on it with my therapists, with my life coaches and health coaches. I just want everybody to know that my progress is good and I'm working hard to get past my challenges. I'm working very hard to get past my challenges. There's a lot of challenges in front of me. And I want everybody to know that I'm working hard to be me again. To be whole again. You know, sometimes during these few years, I really didn't feel whole. There was always a gaping hole. Better. And I'm working hard. 9/11 was my breaking point, you might say. But guess what? I never give up. I never give up. And I'm getting better every day. Every day I'm getting better. Every day I'm getting better, folks. Been a tough road. It's been a tough road. And my experience actually started on 9/10. When I start the story starts on 9/10, okay? And then we go into 9/11. Now, again, we only have 2 hours here on BIRN. I hope to get through the whole story. If I don't get through the whole story, you can meet me over on Instagram, where I am simulcasting. Hello, Instagram people, as they come piling in. Everybody wants to listen to the 9/11 story. And I'm happy to bring this to everybody. I do this so people understand what happened on 9/11. And that's why I try to hit as many people as possible with this 9/11 broadcast. Now, like I said, I normally don't simulcast on other networks. But I'm only doing that with the 9/11 show because I deem it necessary. I deem it necessary. Because there's a lot of people that need to hear this story. Because a lot of people have it wrong. A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people don't understand what really happened that day in 9/11. And I'm here to tell you the true story because I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it with my own eyes. You know? I smelt it. I tasted the air. It was a terrible taste. I felt it. I touched it. I heard it. It was just a day that will forever live in my mind until I'm dead. And I'm going to keep doing this show. No matter if it's on BIRN, my own network, another network, whatever it is, I'm going to keep doing this show. It might get repetitive for some who've heard this show over and over again. But it's not repetitive for me. This is something that hit me hard. This is something that rattled my life. And I want to know everybody to know that I'm doing just fine. And I'm battling my PTSD. And I'm working hard. Doing the best I can every single day. Every single day doing the best I can. I want everybody to know that I'm coming back and I'm coming back strong. For all of you, for all of you that love this story, that love supporting me and being there for me when times were tough, and being there for me when times were great. What more could you ask for? What more could you ask for, folks? I tell you, this is one awesome, interesting, scary, disheartening, disgusting story. I will tell you that it does get disgusting. You know, there are points where I go into graphic detail on what I see. I go back in time when I tell the story, you know, and I see everything that I saw, and I really get graphic. So just want to let everybody know, if you can't handle graphic, maybe you want to leave for that point in the story. Because we will get graphic. We will get very graphic. Okay? And if you can't handle that and your stomach is weak, I definitely suggest that you leave and come back. Now, this story, and I'm hoping to abridge it and finish it on BIRN, is about two and a half hours long. Sometimes it goes 3 hours long. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I go through the whole story just so people understand what really happened. I want to know what you think and where you were, what you were thinking and what you thought on 9/11, and we'll have that part of the show on Instagram where you can come on live and talk about your 9/11 experience live on Instagram. Okay, so when it comes down to it, I am going to silently go back in time and get ready to tell my story to all of you. Hope you get something out of it. Hope you learn something that maybe you didn't see on the news or TV, because you don't get the whole news on TV. A lot of the times, they dumb it down for everybody on TV. They really don't show everything. I'm going to talk about everything tonight. Everything. Now, some of you might say, well, that didn't happen. Well, it happened to me, okay? And, you know, a lot of people from outside of New York want to tell me my story. And I will tell you that if you weren't there, you really don't know what happened. You really don't know. I mean, you saw it on TV, yes. You were crying along with us, yes. You were fearful along with us, yes. Because it wasn't just New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C. It was all of America that got struck that day. Everything came to a halt. Everything came to a halt. So it wasn't just those three areas of the United States that were hit that day. It was all the United States that was hit. That was the first time that we were ever hit on our homeland. The first time anything like that was not domestic terrorists, happened here in America. And there were many other times that we were worried about other countries attacking us. That was really the only time that we had another country attack us from outside of our borders. You know, for about a week and a half, there was no crime. But we'll get to that part of the story at the end. you know, for a week and a half, we actually came together as a people. Amazing, isn't it? Do we see that in today's world? Absolutely not. We're too divided in today's world to come together like that again. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a story of heroism. So many people gave of their own lives to save people they did not know. People helping people, strangers helping strangers. That's always a theme that I go into. Always a theme that I talk about during the story. So without further ado, we got to get started here. We got to get started here, folks. So I am going to go back in time. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to relax, and then I'm going to tell the story. I won't be reading comments. I'll just be telling the story. Please pay attention. Hope you learned something from the story. Hope you get something out of it. And I will close my eyes, and I'm going to go back in time and just relax and meditate. Just go back in time and take some deep breaths. I hear some silence and hear me breathing. That's me just trying to relax and go back in time. Might take another 2 minutes so I could tell the story properly. Okay, folks, bear with me. I'm heading back to 9/11. So the story begins on 9/10/2001, and I was in the city on 9/10 with my family, and we went to my favorite Chinese restaurant, in Chinatown. Loved the pork there. Loved everything there. And had a great meal, I tell you. Had a great meal. It was an awesome meal that day. And it was a rainy day. There was a lot of clouds. And it looked like the clouds were breaking a little bit. But we had rain that day. And there's still a lot of clouds in the sky. From Chinatown, you can see the Twin Towers. Just a beautiful view right down Broadway, you know. Chinatown was awesome. Loved going to my favorite restaurant there. Spent about 2 hours in our favorite restaurant. And it was amazing. It was truly amazing. It was a great experience for the whole family. It was a great experience for the whole family. My mom was still alive then. And this was during her cancer war. She really wanted to go to Chinatown. you know, that's her favorite restaurant. You know, so we went there, and it was great, and it was awesome. And honestly, I was licking my lips after we went to my favorite Chinese restaurant. Now, we get in the car after 2 hours of really having some good food and great laughs, conversation, and we start on our journey home. And usually we would take the tunnel, but this time and on this day, we decided to take the bridge home. And usually on the bridge, Brooklyn Bridge, you could see the Twin Towers. It's a beautiful seat downtown New York. As we're heading onto the Golden Bridge. And there's traffic on the bridge. And we start riding home. And it's a slow go. And then it starts to speed up. You know, just before you get on the bridge, you see the Twin Towers standing there. Beautiful. In their majestic value. So beautiful, those two buildings. And I asked the question. And I said, hey, Dad, what if those two buildings fell? And this was in the I-10. What if those two buildings fell, Dad? And my dad said, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. I was up there in the, you know, in the restaurant all the way to the top of the World Trade Center. So he had his scholarship luncheon usually up in the windows of the world, up in the top of the World Trade Center. He said, don't talk about that. It makes me nervous. Because I got the scholarship luncheon up there. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. All right, Dad. So I never got a really an answer to my question. But I said, what if those two buildings fell? So what did I predict what was going to happen the next day? That's kind of scary, isn't it? But I had to start the story there because that's where the story started. And I remember vividly asking my father, what if those two buildings fell? Amazingly, the next day they did. So we get home. Relax. We get ready for the next day. The next day, it was primary season. That's right. It was primary season. And we were getting ready for the next election. We were getting ready to see who would run, you know, for both parties in the November election, 2001. September 11th was the primary. So I went to bed pretty early, I would have to say, 12 o'clock, but I really wasn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. It was a tossing and turning type of a thing. You know, it was rustling. It was a lot of rustling around in the bed, and it was like I could not get comfortable. I could not get comfortable in the bed. You know, and then I finally got comfortable. The alarm goes off. And the alarm goes off. 6 o'clock in the morning was the start of the day. But I got up at 5:30 because of the primary, because I wanted to vote in the morning. before I went to work, because I know it gets crowded when I come home in the evening to vote. So I wanted to vote when it was nice and quiet for the primary. Now, during this period of time, the voting was a little different. We'll get into that. But my day started at 5:30. I took my shower. I got dressed, made my bed, went downstairs for a great breakfast. That's right, and apple and some pancakes, some toast. It was really delicious. I remember that day. I had some really awesome pancakes with syrup. And I couldn't get the taste out of my mouth. The taste was in my mouth all day, even during 9/11. What happened? The taste of syrup and pancakes was in my mouth. So after my pancake and my breakfast, I went upstairs to get my bag. And I usually carry my umbrella with me, especially since it was raining the day before. I went out. There were some clouds, but it looked pretty clear. And as you know, 9/11 was a really clear day. So all those clouds really dissipated by the time 9/11 happened. So over Staten Island, there was clouds, and there was a little drizzle from some of the clouds. So I had my umbrella with me. I usually carry it anyway. Even if it's not raining and it's beautiful and it's sunny out, or if it's a nice night, I always have my umbrella with me. So I start out, mind you, I didn't have chronic pain at this time either. And at the time, in 2008, chronic pain at work. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I did not have chronic pain in 2001. So I start out, and of course, across the street is the voting booth. There's the polling booth, everybody. And like I said, during this time, it was primaries on September 11, 2001. And, you know, there's people outside. They tell you, don't stand outside with signs. And they're out there with signs, you know, trying to get people to vote for certain people. It's amazing. You know, they don't follow direction. And I walk up the stairs to go to the polling booth. And I'm the only one in there. Very few people in there. You know, and the only person really at my district. And at that pure point in time, you know, like I said, there was me at the desk and there was three people behind the desk. Now, during this period of time, there was no written ballots. It was machines only. That's right, yes. Machines only, where they click the machine over, you know, where you click the lever over, whoever you want to vote, you know. So when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, it was a longer process than what I thought. I get to the polling area and I go in and I crank the window closed because the shade comes in back of you, right? Remember the old voting booth, right? Where you crank the lever over and the shade, you know, to block who you're voting for, right? And then you click the lever over for who you're going to vote for. So there was a couple of people to vote for, a couple of positions to vote for, and I click the lever for each. And then I move the shade myself and I walk out. And they called me back and they said, well, your vote didn't go through. You didn't click the lever back over. And I'm like, oh, I just want to get to the bus at this point. So, all right, I'll vote again. So I go in, I click the same levers again, and I pull the polling booth open, and the vote counted. And that was my voting story on 9/11. Yes, I wanted to rush to the bus. So now I needed to get to the bus in time, okay? So it's about 6:30. My favorite bus driver comes down the pike. About 6:30, 6:45, my favorite bus driver comes down the pike, comes down the street, Richmond Avenue, and looking forward to getting on his bus because I always have a good laugh going into the city. So always a good time going on the bus with my favorite bus driver every morning at 6:30, 6:45. He comes down, and there's about maybe like 10, 15 people there waiting well to get on the bus. So I'm hustling down to the bus stop, which is about a mile away from the school, and I'm walking briskly down to the bus stop. And as I'm walking, I'm closing up my umbrella, putting it away, you know, getting my bag over my shoulder, and walking briskly down to the bus stop. I see about 15 to 20 people, you might say, waiting at the bus stop. Now, some of these people are my friends, other people I've never seen before, but these are people are, you know, obese. Some of these people are disabled, in wheelchairs, you know. Some of these people, they just don't look in shape. And just so everybody understands, a lot of those people didn't show up at the bus station after 9/11. You know what I mean? And we get on the bus, and I'm like one of the first people on the bus, and this is my favorite bus driver, and I'm really excited about making it to my favorite bus. Sometimes I miss my favorite bus, and I'm like, oh, I need to get on my favorite bus with my favorite bus driver, because otherwise it's boring. There's no laugh in the morning if I don't get on my favorite bus driver's bus. So I get on his bus, and I always sit in the front. Somebody always leaves me a seat in the front. Or if somebody is sitting in the front, I ask, could I please sit there? And because this is my usual seat, I have to laugh with this bus driver. I have to talk to this bus driver, you know? You know, when it comes down to it, you know, if I didn't have all the laughing and the giggling and the fun times on the bus, I don't think I'd be excited at all to be going to work. You know, I needed that laugh in the morning. You know, I needed something to laugh about in the morning, because otherwise it would be so depressing. And to have my favorite bus driver there, always with a smile on his face, always talking and jibber-jabbering and laughing and telling jokes, it was always an exciting ride in. Always had a good time with this bus driver. And other people got involved too. Other people got involved as well. And I will tell you, the bus was at a standstill at certain periods of time. Because it's not traffic, we would have such a good time on this bus. But it's all part of the story, folks. All part of the story. Laughing and giggling. We get to the Verrazano Bridge. And on this day, there was not a cloud in the sky, and the sun was beaming off of the top of the two buildings. I said, what beautiful buildings over there. Look at the sun hitting the buildings. And everybody looked over, and they looked at the beautiful Twin Towers. Little did we know, a couple hours later, they would not be there anymore. The sun was shining beautifully on both buildings. It was such a beautiful sight. I should have took a picture, but back in 2001, we only had flip phones. So what good is a flip phone picture? You didn't have iPhones back then. Or at least I didn't have an iPhone back then. Maybe iPhones were around, but I didn't have an iPhone. I had a flip phone back then. And I didn't think to take a picture. It was such a beautiful sight, though. And the last time I would see those two beautiful buildings with the sun shining upon it. And we have to go through Brooklyn. And we have to go through Manhattan and Queens sometimes. It depends. Sometimes we'll detour through Queens. But this day, we went through Brooklyn, and we got to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. And Brooklyn was full of traffic. The Gowanus was full of traffic. That's what takes you to the tunnel. You have to go on the Gowanus to go to the tunnel. It was packed. You know, little by little, we're getting to the tunnel. You know, and from that view, you could see the Twin Towers again on the Gowanus as we were headed towards the tunnel. What beautiful sight with the sun shining off of the two buildings. It looked like heaven. Really did. And we finally get to the tunnel maybe 15, 20 minutes later after all this traffic. Yeah, I have to call because there's so much traffic going through the tunnel. I have to call work and say, hey, I'm going to be late. I remember. I have to call work and say I'm going to be late. Still on the bus. I'm coming through the tunnel now. Be there when I can. You know, you always had a call when you're a little bit late. You know, just a lot of traffic that day. An overabundance of traffic. We finally get to the tunnel, and from the tunnel, you can't see the buildings anymore. So then you get in the tunnel, and it's so dark. And now it's lit up, you know, but back then it was so dark in that tunnel. And I tell you, I don't know, I never felt the way I felt that day in that tunnel. I just felt like something was going to happen. You know when you feel like something is going to happen? I felt that way. I had that feeling. I said, oh, I hope nothing happens. I pray nothing happens. Because if you remember, they weren't only going high. They were thinking of blowing up bridges and tunnels that day, too. You know, so I just had this uneasy feeling of something was going to happen. And all these people were on the bus, and we're all laughing and giggling. But I still had that uneasy feeling. And there was a lot of traffic in the tunnel. I just wanted to get out of the tunnel. I'm not a big tunnel guy. You know, I don't like tunnels, but, you know, you have to go through the tunnel to get to work. Otherwise, you don't go to work and you don't get paid, right? So you got to go through the tunnel to get to work. So it took about maybe 20 minutes to get through the tunnel. But when you come out of the tunnel, you see the two beautiful twin towers standing right in front of you. And you just look up in awe of the two beautiful buildings with the sun shining on them. The sun was still in place where it was still shining on the two buildings. Amazing. Amazing to see. I should have took a picture. To this day, I wish I took a picture of it. Because that was the last day I would, in that position, that I would see the Twin Towers so close with the sun shining off of them. And little did I know what was going to happen a few hours later. You know, so when you get out of the tunnel, you make the sharp right turn, you go around the circle, and then you hit West Street. And you turn left onto West Street, and right there is the first stop. And that's the first stop. The World Trade Center is the first stop. And I see my friend hitting the bell to get off the bus. And so many people are lining up, including the couple of people in the wheelchair, including those obese people, including a couple of older individuals. You know, like I said, I didn't see these people after 9/11, which is very sad. So they all line up to get off of the bus in the middle of the bus. They're all saying goodbye, have a good day, have a good day, goodbye. Bye, everybody. And I'm saying goodbye to everybody. And little did I know I would say goodbye to those people for the last time. Some of them. And I'm watching people walk into the nation. Good people. Happy people. We were all just laughing a few minutes ago. We all get off the bus, and the door closes to the bus, and we start driving down West Street again. And we make the turn, and we head towards the Avenue of the Americas, which is right by the old Verizon building. We go past the Verizon building, and we hop right into the Avenue of the Americas and take Avenue of Americas straight down. We take the turn on the 20th Street. I work on East 32nd Street, which is second building in, Credit Suisse First Boston building. And there was a park around there, too. Beautiful park in the middle over there by the Flatiron Building and Broadway. So we're actually making the left-hand turn on 28th. And we hear over the loudspeaker, a small plane has hit the North Tower. Please detour and follow the bus detour list. So I'm saying a plane hit the North Tower. Now, my cousin worked in the North Tower, up in the top floors at Cantor Fitzgerald. And I was like sort of, oh, how high was it up? How high did it hit up? Was it a small plane? You know, at that time, we didn't know. So we make the turn, and we're right there, and we see the smoke coming out of the building, and we see the plane parts coming out the other side. That's right, literal plane parts coming out the other side of the building, along with desks, along with paper. Who knows, maybe people. Everything was flying out the other side of the building. And you saw flame and smoke billowing out of the North Tower. And it was high up, and that was Cantor Fitzgerald. And I got worried for my cousin, who actually perished at 9/11. So I called his phone from my flip phone, but I couldn't get in touch with him. The phone went right into message. And like I said, it was a flip phone, and he had a flip phone, and I couldn't get in touch with him. And I was worried about it because I looked up there and I said, God, it looks like they hit the very top of that tower. And I know my cousin works up there. There was a big gaping hole on both sides of the building. And like I said, you could see the plane parts flying out of the other side. You could see desks being pushed out. I don't know if people were pushed out. Who knows, maybe. But I tell you, there was a lot of things flying out of that building when the plane hit. and all you saw was just billowing smoke and lots of flames. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and everybody was looking up in awe in Midtown. And we were all just standing there, like the whole earth stopped, like we were just standing there looking up. And the whole earth stopped. It was like the whole New York City just stopped. Everybody got out of their car and was looking at that building. Right down Broadway. Right down where the Flatiron building was, we saw all the action. We saw the billowing smoke. We saw the devastation, what that airplane did. It's amazing. We saw the oil dripping out of the tower, on the upside of the tower. Flamed oil. Flames just falling out in the sky. And that was the flammable oil from the plane. We saw all of this from Midtown. Okay. And we're all just standing there. And we're just all in awe. And we see people in office buildings looking out their windows, opening the windows. If it was their home or their office building, they were looking out the window at what was going on. Everybody was in awe. Everybody was fearful. You could see people going into anxiety attacks. You can see people going into panic attacks. I had an anxiety attack that day. I knew something would happen. I had that feeling something would happen. And to watch this, I mean, what do you see? Smoke billowing out and up of the building. It's scary as shit. And I'm standing there for a good 20, 30 minutes, you know, and the bus driver was standing out there with me along with other people that, you know, were trying to get to work and couldn't get to work because of the traffic. Everybody was stopped. Everybody was looking at the Twin Towers. And then it comes over the loudspeaker on the bus that it was a big plane went into the North Tower. Buses, please take your detoured routes. And they were going over all the routes, making sure all the buses by number knew where they were supposed to go and how they were supposed to pick up people. But keep in mind, after a certain period of time, there was no more bus service, no more train service. We were all stuck in New York City. Unless you got to the ferry. Unless you got to the ferry. That was the only way out. That was the only way off the fucking island. That was the only way you could get off Manhattan Island at that point. That was later on. That was later on. For about 20, 25 minutes, I said goodbye to the bus driver. I said, I can walk the rest of the way to work. Don't worry about it, man. You have a good rest of the day. Honestly, I didn't see that bus driver again. I don't know if he changed his route or he retired after that. I'm not sure. But I honestly didn't see that bus driver after that. And I tried to get to the bus stop at around the time he would come, and it was always a different bus driver. And I would always ask the bus driver, where is this bus driver, my favorite bus driver? And they would never tell me where he was. So I don't know. I don't know. But last time I said goodbye to that bus driver and walked to work. and I got in the building, and I took the elevator up to the third floor where I worked. You know, everybody was frantic when I got up there. And I'd never seen the floor like this before. People running back and forth. People screaming on the phone. People trying to call other people. People crying. People in fear, anxiety. People having panic attacks. This one guy, he always had his golf club with him. He broke the damn golf club on the desk because he didn't hear from his friend. He always had the golf club because, you know, he was that type of guy that swing the golf club if you have stress, right? Swing the golf club if you had stress. You know, so there was a lot of stress in that building. Always, every day, but today there was a lot of stress. And I get to my desk and I have a computer with two monitors, you know, and I asked my boss, hey, what's going on? How you doing? And he said, did you see what happened? I said, I saw what happened outside. I saw it clear as day outside. I saw the plane parts and everything coming out the other side of the building. I said, I saw desks flying out of the building, paper flying out of the building, smoke billowing up out of the building, and oil, fired oil, you know, flammable oil dripping out of the top of the building. So how could you not miss that? You know, and they got on TV in there. And they had all the TVs, you know, off of what we usually watched in the morning, which was the news, you know, usually, or a sporting event sometimes, if it was an early sporting event. And what happened from there is everybody's watching this on TV. Everybody continues going crazy on the third floor. Yeah, I get a little frantic, and I called my friend over on the other side of the water in New Jersey, and for his point, they wanted to know I was okay. My friend downtown wanted to know if I was okay, and I said, are you okay? You're closer to the damn thing. You know, and I was like, you know, are you all right? And he said, you know, I'm a little startled. I think I got PTSD from that. I saw that happen. Yeah, and from a vantage point. He said, there's a big gaping hole on my side. I said, well, there's a big gaping hole on my side, too. You know, I saw the whole other side. The whole other side on the top, like three or four floors, all burning up on the top of the building. And I was with my cousin, and I called my cousin again, and he did not pick up the phone. Yeah, worried for my cousin. I was really, he was up there in Cantor Fitzgerald, and I was just worried about him. I always had it in the back of my head. Something was going to happen today. I didn't think it would be him. So, I'm cool, calm, and collective usually. And I'm just watching everybody around me go crazy. And I sit down in my chair. And I'm shooken up. But I'm a different guy. I'm a different type of guy, you know. I'm not the running around frantic type. I just try to relax when things like this happen. But I still had that anxiety for my family members. I still had that anxiety, you know, for my friends. You know, so I'm watching TV and I'm watching the smoke billow out of this thing. Okay. I'm watching the smoke coming out of the top of the first tower. And I can't believe what I'm seeing. And my friends from across the water are calling me. Am I okay? I'm fine. I'm in Midtown, you know, but, you know, my cousin's not doing so good. And the people downtown are not doing so good. And they're telling me, well, we saw the plane go in. We saw the plane go in. plane hit the building. Was it a small plane? Absolutely not. They said it was not a small plane. It was a huge plane. It was going in at a fast clip. They saw it going in at a fast clip. You know, and they were wondering why it was so low. And they knew that building was tall enough, and it was headed right for it. And they were wondering, what the hell's going on here? And then they speed it up. And then they hit the building, and they saw it right from the building across the water. And they said it was just a terrifying look at what really happened. And then those people will never forget it either. They saw exactly what happened. They saw the plane go right into the damn building. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. So I was sitting there, and I'm trying to calm people down, and people were just so frantic and crying under such stress. People were trying to reach their loved ones. And I'm like, don't worry, they're going to be okay. Trying to calm people down. A lot of these people had family members that worked up in Cantor Fitzgerald. And I'm trying to keep these people alive so they don't die of a heart attack in the fucking building. And I'm saying to myself, man, why am I not so frantic like these people? You know what? I go back to 9/10 and I said, well, I asked if those buildings were going to fall on 9/10. And my dad wouldn't answer the question. And today, look what's happening. So maybe that's why I'm not frantic. But I was a little bit worried about my cousin, as I kept trying to call him, and I couldn't get in touch with him. And I'm watching the coverage on TV, and I see another plane coming in. And that plane hits the South Tower. Now, keep in mind, they show you different angles, but that plane actually hit the corner of the South Tower. It hit the corner. It clipped the corner and went right into the corner of the South Tower, which left the building leaving. It didn't go straight in. It went right into the corner of the building, which left the building leaning to the right. And honestly, when I went outside, I saw it leaning. You can see the difference in the building. It wasn't standing straight. So the rest of the story is I'm still in the building, and we were worried then and getting frantic that they were going to hit Midtown and they were going to hit our building because it was a pretty tall building. We didn't know if there was going to be another strike in Midtown or Uptown, so we wanted to get the hell out of there. We wanted to get the hell out of the building. Now, again, all these people are frantic, and we're just trying to calm everybody down to walk in an orderly fashion out of the building. The alarm starts going off, and everybody starts going crazy. Everybody starts running in different directions. If you ever saw a frantic fire alarm call, this was the day, ladies and gentlemen, where it was just so frantic that you ever see a movie where people are running around and it's just mass mayhem in the damn building? Well, this was that day. This was that day. And I really started to get scared then. I really, at that point, started to get scared. When the second plane hit, I thought there was going to be more planes coming into Midtown. I thought it was going to be devastation all over New York City. And who knows, right? It could have been. It could have been. So me being one of the calm ones, trying to get everybody ready to and lined up, okay? Because at this point, we had protocol to line everybody up to get out of the damn building, you know, in an orderly fashion. Now, I'm trying to, everybody in an orderly fashion, let's get out of this building. Come on, everybody. Let's walk feverishly out of the building, okay? But please do not run over the person in front of you. Please don't trample anyone, okay? Let's all get out of here safely. Let's all get out of here safely. Let's all get out of here. Let's get out of New York City. Let's get out of here, I said. I'm not going to have people trampling over other people and killing other people. I actually had to raise my voice. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. And we all walked out in an orderly fashion, down the steps, down two flights of steps, because in that case, we weren't going to take elevators. The elevators were locked down. They didn't want anybody taking elevators just in case a plane hit or a bomb hit, whatever it was. They didn't want anybody stuck in elevators. So they locked down the elevators. Everybody had to take the stairs. In an orderly fashion, we all got down. The whole floor got down in an orderly fashion. I was one of those people that got them down in an orderly fashion. Not a lot of people listened to me. Not a lot of people took me seriously. But honestly, that day, I think they respected me. Time is running out on Instagram, so I'll be back in just a minute. I'm coming right back on Instagram. For some reason, they knock you off after a certain period of time on Instagram. So I'll be back on Instagram in just a moment. So when it comes down to it, it's important to understand the building. And there's cars and there's people and there's mass mayhem in the streets. Something else, folks. It's something else. It's something that you never could believe. It's like one of those scenes in a movie where you see people running down the street with soot on them. That's exactly what we saw. People running in the streets with soot on them. Coming from downtown to midtown, watching the two towers billow out smoke from the vantage point that we are at. Almost getting run over by people. Trampled over by people, cars just sitting there in the middle of the street, people outside of the cars watching the mass mayhem. And my friend says, hey, you seven, because that was me and my friends, you know, or we all worked together in the building, why don't you come over to my place? My place is like a couple of blocks down on 28th Street. Come to my place. I'm 7 floors up. You'll be safe there. Come there. We'll have drinks. We'll eat some stuff. Come on down. You know, we'll watch the action from there. I was like, I really don't want to watch the action. I want to get the hell out of the city. Amazing this day. Amazing what happened on this day. So me and seven other people went to a friend's apartment, which is about two or three blocks down on 28th. And we swiftly walked there. I mean, we had a briskly walk there because we smelled the soot on the people coming from the World Trade Center area. But when we got outside, people from the World Trade Center area were running down the block with soot all over them. It was like a bad movie. It was like a real scary movie, too. It's unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. So I got to my friend's apartment, 7 floors up, in a beautiful building, a beautiful apartment, you know. I mean, really fit for one person, one woman, right? And, you know, honestly, there was about 7 of us in there. It was a little tight, but we all sitting around the TV, watching the TV. And I remember people just like breaking down, crying. And we, our host, do you want anything to drink? And she just gives us everything. You know, she just puts out everything, wine, beer. Hey, you want a drink? Just take a drink. And she's got a nice terrace as well. But when you walk out on this terrace 7 floors up, you really see everything. And you see it from a different vantage point. And you just see the smoke. I go outside and I'm watching the smoke. I didn't want to watch it on TV. I wanted to watch it for real. You know, when you're in something like this and you're there, you want to see it for real. You want to see everything happening in front of you for real. So when you tell a story, you know, 21 years later, you could say, I saw that with my own eyes. I saw the damn planes go in with my own eyes. I saw where they hit with my own eyes. I saw the building flailing to the right. Because it was hit in the corner. That second building, that South Tower. I saw people. You know, you really don't want to see this. If this is something you really don't want to see. People lining up to jump to their death. People lining up to jump to their death. And there's some people, there's some couples jumping out the window together. There's maybe a couple of like 4 or 5 people, maybe friends wanted to jump out together. And then there's the singular people. One by one. Bloop, bloop, bloop. It's something you don't want to see. But I saw it clear as day. And when you see something like that, that's very traumatic. Because that, you don't see that every day. You don't see people jumping out of their building to their death every day. You don't see that. You know, and it's just, and then you just start thinking, well, I mean, all these people up there were probably trapped, and they had to choose the way they wanted to go. Smoke inhalation, right? Or being incinerated by the fire. Or jumping out the window. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, the choices that people were put in. There was no way they could live from that vantage point. They were cut off from any stairwell. They were cut off from any elevator. They were up there like sitting ducks. Like the sailors on the USS Arizona, when the Arizona flipped over during Pearl Harbor. But this time, people were up 100 floors. And it's just something you don't want to see, folks. It's something you don't want to see. Just people, one by one, bloop, bloop. And like I said, couples, maybe. Saw a woman and a man holding hands. You know, maybe a couple, a married couple. Maybe it was a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And then there was like three or four people, five people together just jumping out. I guess they were friends or whatever. We're going to die together, you know. I never got that out of my head. And for days after that, I was having, like, PTSD dreams. I wouldn't call them dreams. They were fucking nightmares of me being up there and having to choose whether how to die, you know. And I just can't think about that. But if that's the choice you have to make, you have to figure out which way you're going to go to heaven, right? Which way you're going to go to heaven? And there was a lot of people that jumped out of that building. You know? And you can see that on TV. They're not going to show you that. They're not going to show you that on the news. You know? They're not going to show you the building flailing to the right. Right? You really didn't see that. You know, you just saw them standing up tall. But when you were standing at a vantage point, you could see that that South Tower was leaning to the right. I saw it. I am a good, you know, vision when it comes to things being straight, okay? And when I looked at those buildings, usually they were straight. When I looked at those buildings after the plane hit, that South Tower was leaning to the right. And people were jumping out of the building. Just one. I guess the people that survived the impact, right, and survived the fire and the smoke, didn't know what to do, trying to get some air. Either they fell out of the window or they jumped out the window, whatever it was. And I just saw those people just falling to their death. Something you never want to see, folks. And I was nervous. I was saying, well, hope my cousin didn't jump. Hope my cousin had enough sense not to jump. He died in a different way. Because he's not looking good up there right now. And I was worried about him, and I kept calling his phone and no answer. And in my head, I'm like saying, well, he goes to heaven. I hope he goes the right way for him. At that point, I didn't know what to think. And I'm standing there watching all of this. And I'm standing there watching these buildings just billow smoke. And the smoke is just, and it's a beautiful day. The smoke is just covering the whole sky. And I look down, and I see all these people from downtown walking in the streets up here frantically trying to get either their house, their apartments, whatever it is, frantically trying to get to their place where they reside. And at this point in time, there's no bus service or train service. So honestly, there was no way for me to get back to the island that I live on. That's right. And there's no train that goes to Staten Island. There's buses that go to Staten Island, but all bus service was stopped. I mean, you couldn't really do anything. All of Midtown was gridlocked because everybody was out of their cars looking at the action. And people could see it vividly as day, what was going on. It's just unbelievable. This, I had to go inside. I couldn't take it no more. Couldn't watch people jumping out of the building anymore. Couldn't do it. So I went back inside. I grabbed the beer, watching this on TV, you know, and jumping in there with everybody and sitting down and watching it on TV. There's people crying, people frantic there, you know. I mean, pretty much level-headed, but still crying and couldn't believe what was happening in our city. Couldn't believe what was going on with the two biggest beautiful buildings that we have in New York City. Because that's just something we look for every day. We look for those buildings. You know, we look for those damn buildings. We look for them every single day. Now we don't have them no more. And honestly, the Freedom Tower is not the Twin Towers. Sorry. Freedom Tower is not the Twin Towers. But it's still a beautiful sight. And it is a good replacement. You know, we needed to rebuild, you know, after that. We needed to rebuild, and we needed a new building there. We needed to do it. But it's not like the Twin Towers. I was born with the Twin Towers. I always look for the Twin Towers, and they're not there anymore. This is my city. My city don't have those two towers anymore. You know, and at the time we were in the apartment, the buildings were still standing. And, you know, watching the TV, you know, watching. You know. And then somebody on the TV said, uh-oh, it looks like the North Tower. No, I'm sorry. The South Tower was going down first. The South Tower, because it was leaning to the right to begin with, okay, went down. Now, when that came down, it came down and then it went to the right. So all the buildings to the right were damaged. You didn't see that on TV. All the buildings to the right were damaged. The atrium of the building adjacent was obliterated. A lot of the buildings had damage to the right. They never showed you that on TV. There was destruction down there. It was major destruction. So when that building fell, I said, holy shit, I got to get out there. So I went out to the platform, to the terrace again, and I literally see that building falling and then going to the right, falling and going to the right. I see this live. With my eyes, I see it falling. Now there's one building left, and there's still people jumping out of that building. There's one building left. And then, honestly, at this time, I'm angry. Sad, angry, bewildered. That I can't believe we only have one building left. And there was a lot of devastation down there because you can see the way the smoke was billowing up from the streets. It encompassed a lot of the buildings on the right. So whatever you saw on TV, you didn't see the building falling right. The building fell to the right because it was hit on the corner. If you see, When the plane went in, it went in at the corner, and it was flailing to the right. That's why that building fell first. But it was so devastating to see that. You know, as that building was falling, people were still jumping out of that building. People were still alive in that building. and they were jumping out. But it came down quick. It came down quickly. I stood out there. I didn't want to miss what was going to happen to the North Tower because I knew my cousin was in there. And again, I just prayed to God at that point. I didn't know what he was doing, you know. Kept trying to call him to no avail. And I wanted to see it for myself, you know. And again, I'm standing out there and people are jumping to their demise. And then all of a sudden, you just see the spire on the North Tower start to move. Once that spire started to move, and by the way, the people, there was a lot of people on the roof because the helicopters were going around the building trying to save people from the roof. But they couldn't get in there because the smoke was too much. So they could actually save people from the roof if there wasn't so much smoke. And there were people on top of the building screaming at the top of their lungs. And all of a sudden, the building starts going down. And people were everywhere. Just like, and then it's coming straight down. See, that building came straight down. Okay? But the other one flailed to the right and came down to the right. Okay? But as coming down, all the building parts were spread out. You have to see the plume of smoke and all the debris making a mushroom, and it was hitting the buildings on the left. Trump Tower was on the left. Okay? Trump Plaza was on the left. Wall Street was on the left. You know, beautiful churches down there, too, were on the left. And I think a lot of churches were damaged. A lot of things were damaged. A lot of churches were damaged. And then I just stood there, and I said, now we have no buildings. And I was angry. I was sad, bewildered. I was all of that. I was just angry, sad, bewildered, anxiety-filled, stress. All over the place. It was just unbelievable. I said, I got to get out of the city. I walked into the apartment and I said, I got to get out of here. What time is it? It was early still, you know, when the towers fell. It was around the 12 o'clock hour. I said, I got to get the hell out of here. I got to get out of here. And everybody just sat there in front of the TV and didn't move. They just all sat there in front of the TV. And none of those people wanted to see it live. I was the only one that wanted to go out there and see what was happening live and in living color. I wanted to be able to tell a story. I wanted to be able to tell it an experience story. I wanted to see it with my own eyes. I didn't want to see it on TV. Because again, TV don't show you everything. TV doesn't show you people jumping out of buildings. You know, TV doesn't show you the buildings and the way they fall. They just show you the aftermath and the smoke. And the aftermath of all the building parts and the way the building fell and all the parts sticking up out of the earth. They don't show you how the buildings fell. They don't show you a lot of things. They can manipulate a lot of things on the news. So I didn't want to see it on the news. I wanted to see it for myself. That's why I'm able to tell this story. That's why I'm able to tell it with vivid compassion. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just wanted to go home. And the last ferry was around 6 p.m. The last ferry to where I live was about 6 p.m. The only way off of the damn Manhattan Island was either walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, okay, walk home, which is a hell of a freaking walk, could have taken 2 days, or take the ferry over to where I live, Staten Island. I said, I got to get to that ferry. I'm not walking home. And at the time, I didn't have chronic pain, so I usually do the miles and miles a walk, you know, like the MS walks and the Walk America. I was able to, you know, walk long distances because I did a lot of those walks, you know, and they were kilometers and miles long that I was able to, you know, have enough stamina to walk from midtown to downtown. What a day, folks. And it felt like the day was never ending. So right now it's about 12:30 or a little bit more. And I want to go home. The last ferry is 6 o'clock, and there's no other ferries before that. So I have to wait till 6 damn o'clock to go home. Now, keep in mind, I had to walk from Midtown all the way to downtown. That's miles of a walk, folks. That's a long damn walk down Broadway. That's a long walk. Thank God I got a lot of stamina. I was able to do it. I was able to walk it. It's amazing. And along the way, we're saving people's lives. You know, along the way, we're talking people down, trying to get them out of their anxiety fits. You know, we're trying our best to do the best that we could. And there were places that came out and said, hey, you want some free water, free coffee from Starbucks? They were giving free everything. Free everything. We're walking down Broadway. Free food. Free coffee. Free bottles of water. Come on, everybody. Come on over here. I'm like, man, I need some water. Went over and got a free water. You know, so I was 3 blocks down from where I worked, and I wanted to get to Broadway. I about 2 o'clock, I said, I got to get out of here. Got to go, folks. You know, I got to get back home. I got to get out of this city. I don't feel comfortable here. I don't know what's going to happen next. I got to get out of here. So I said goodbye to all my friends. Give them all hugs. Give them all kisses. Like, it's going to be the end of days, right? Like, I'm not going to see you again. You know, who knows? You know, and I said good luck to everybody. God bless you. And I walk out, you know. Thank God I saw those people when I went back to work, so they were living still, which is good. So I got out of the building, still very frantic in Midtown, and I'm walking up, you know, back to where I work, you know, still stand still in the streets, no cars moving, everybody watching the smoke billowing out of Ground Zero. Watching the smoke go into the air. Now, you guys got to understand the smoke, okay? The smoke nearly covered downtown and midtown. You have to understand the smoke. You weren't there. You have to understand the smoke, folks. The smoke was so much. There was so much smoke. You know, and a lot of it leaked to midtown when the buildings fell. And it just got worse from there. You have to understand, the billowing smoke was the worst. It was honestly tough to breathe. It was honestly tough to breathe. and being a long-distance walker, you need to take deep breaths, and it was tough to breathe in, breathe out, and walk. So I got to Broadway, and there were a bunch of people standing there. And I said, everybody, we got to start walking. Otherwise, we're going to reach the last ferry. And whoever is not reaching the last ferry at 6 o'clock is walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, and I'm not doing that. So I said, I'm going to start walking. You know, anybody else want to follow me? Well, there's a bunch of people here. Come on, everybody. We got to start walking. There's no trains. There's no buses. There's no way out. There's no cars coming over bridges. There's no way out of here. It's a death trap. We got to go. So I got people walking. I didn't think that was a major part of the story, but in past years, I didn't tell that part of the story because I didn't think it was a major part of the story. But now thinking back, I could have saved a lot of lives. I could have, you know, just by inspiring people to start walking, you know, or motivating people to start walking. Like I said, I didn't have my chronic pain at the time. You know, and it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like everybody followed. It was like a whole trail of people. It was amazing. We all started walking. You know, and we're like so many people deep walking down Broadway to get to the last ferry. This was the last ferry. There was no other way out. We had to make strides. We had to get to this last ferry. And it was a long walk. We had to start out 4 hours before the last ferry would go. We had to do it. So about 2 o'clock, we all start walking down Broadway. Like a mob. It was fun. It was great. I mean, we were joking around, trying to, you know, upbeat people, you know, trying to, you know, hey, calm down, everybody, you know. You know, trying to talk down people, you know, who had anxiety, depression, you know. Even at that time, I was helping people with anxiety and depression and panic attacks and all kinds of things like that. You know, now I do more of it, you know, but back then I sort of started. I didn't realize that. You know, this was all an important part of the story, but yeah, it is an important part of the story. So that's why I'm doing it now. You could have considered me one of the leaders of the pack, you know, at that point, you know. But I inspired people to walk, I'll tell you that much. And I'm not going to brag, okay, because I don't brag. But I inspired a lot of people. There was a lot of people in that line. And there were two military people that were one on my right, one on my left. You know, and then there was a couple other military people, you know, a few steps back. You know, so we had like maybe 7 or 8 military people. Now they were, you know, not in uniform. You know, these people were the military, retired military, but they obviously understood war, right? And they said they couldn't believe what they saw. A lot of these military guys can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe they would attack us on our homeland. I can't believe they would attack civilians, they said. And I said the same. And that's what made it so devastating. You know, this wasn't a war, a military war with people in garb and guns. It was just, they killed civilians. They killed babies. They killed children. They killed people of all types. People of all walk of life. was walking with military. Yeah, I felt good. I was surrounded by military. I was like, man, I'm feeling good. Yeah, at least I feel protected with military around me. I'm like, yeah, now I feel good, you know. I had a better sense coming over me with the military guys surrounding me, you know. And we're walking down Broadway. Now, Broadway leads you all the way into where the action is. You know, you just walk straight down Broadway, and you make a right, and then you go down to the docks, and you take that down onto the left, and there's the ferry. You know, at this time, there was no new ferry terminal. It was the old ferry terminal, which was kind of dreary and dungy, you know. But, so we're walking down Midtown, you know, and everybody wants to give us free stuff, free T-shirts. Everybody's giving free stuff out as we're walking down the street, you know. And, you know, everybody wants to throw something at us. Hey, here's some water. Here's some coffee, you know. Here's some food, you know. And everybody, I couldn't believe it. Businesses just throwing out things for free. The first time and last time, actually, I ever saw that. And a lot of places, a lot of independent, small businesses, just throwing shit out to people. Like, here's a T-shirt. Here's a this. Here's a that. You want to change your clothes? Here you go. This, that, and the other thing. You know, because, yeah, as we're walking down, again, that smoke is coming down the block, you know. And, again, that soot is coming down. Now, I didn't get that white soot all over me like you see in the pictures. But you have the smoke surrounding you as you're walking back, as you're walking towards, you know, ground zero, you know. And it's very hard to breathe at that point, you know. And me being a long-distance walker, like I said, I usually take my deep breath in, deep out, you know, so I have more stamina. It was tough to do that, you know. Got to have the military guys around me, though. Felt good with the military guys, you know. You know, and we're walking down. You know, and then the military guys, you know, see more smoke. They were probably getting down to where, you know, things are not going to be so good. Probably getting down to the area now. You can't really see the signs. All the signs are covered with soot. You really can't see any of the buildings and the landmarks that you usually see. You know, I mean, everything is covered with soot. You know, everything, you know, is covered with that white substance. Now, again, I wasn't covered with that white substance. Okay, whatever that was, I wasn't covered with that. You know, thank God. You know, but other people running that were covered with it, you know, running to Midtown, running back. Obviously, they lived in the city, and they wanted to run out of that area, and we're walking towards it, right? Now, the military guys, they have no fear. Come on now. The military guys have no fear, you know, so they helped me, you know, build up my fear meter, you know, and they're telling everybody, you know, walk gingerly. There's a lot of debris around here. Now the military guys are getting more involved, you know. You know, because this is stuff that they've seen, you know, overseas in wars, okay? You know, and they're telling me, you know, not telling everybody else, because a lot of these people and a lot of these people we had to talk down from anxiety attacks and panic attacks and depression and all kinds of things, you know, and so they just tell me, because they know I'm the strong one. I got everybody walking, you know, and they told me there's going to be a lot of things here, you know, that, you know, are not good to see. You know, a lot of things that you've never seen before. They just said, get ready for what you're going to see. Okay, I'm ready. You know, I'm still feeling good. I got military guys around me. Right? And, you know, at this time, they get in front of me because, you know, they don't know what to do back, you know, with the guys. Yeah, so then, you know, all eight of them really come up front, you know, to, you know, protect the civilians, the real civilians. You know what I mean? Like, they're the people that fought for us in war. They understand what this is. And, you know, they want to protect the people that weren't in war or the civilians. You know, so they walk in front of us. And we all continue to walk, and there's debris all over the place. There's desks. There's paper flying in the air. You know, there's cars all over the place. There's pieces of plane that I said I saw pieces of plane, okay? Actual, like, engines of plane, like, in the middle of the street on buildings. There's pieces of plane all over the place, right? Just pieces of the building, like, obliterated all over the place. The sad part, obviously, the body parts that you would see one by one, a finger, a hand, a leg. Hanging from the rafters, those are people that jump, obviously. They got out of the building for well, see that? Now, I never smelt death before. And obviously the military guys know the smell of death, right? So I said, what's that smell? It smells so bad. And they said, oh, you know, that's the smell of rotting flesh. They said, that's the smell of death. I didn't know what to say at that point. You know, thank God we didn't have to walk in to the whole area, and they wouldn't let us in to where the buildings were. But you could see the damage to the buildings adjacent on the left, the damage to the buildings on the right as you walked further up, and then we had to make the turn right to get to the ferry, then we had to make our left. But even down that road, there was still bodies and body parts and cars and desks and paper flying all over the place. Just stuff you never want to see. Just stuff you never want to see, folks. I got PTSD from this. So we made it through the story before we ended BIRN. Look at that. We made it through the story. So walking straight, walking right, still witnessing all this horror. I mean, just bones, right? Probably we'd feed them, you know, just all over the place. You know, just gross. It was gross. I mean, the military guys, nothing fazed the military guys, you know. But they said this was the worst they've ever seen. And honestly, I think it was the worst they've ever seen because it was civilians. All eight of them said this is the worst they've ever seen. And I think it was because they knew that all these people that died were civilians. You know, so we get to the end of the block. We walk to the left. There's the ferry terminal, that old, dreary ferry terminal. And the ferry is still there. And it's around. Go in there. You smell the smell of death. Smell the smoke. You smell chemicals. Now, what I didn't say was, and this is an important part of the story, as we're walking down the block there, we have tremors. The ground is literally shaking because New York City is on a fault line like San Andreas, but honestly, it's not. It's a dormant fault line. But New York City is on a fault line like the size of San Andreas. But it's a dormant fault line. That's why you never hear of major catastrophes and major earthquakes in New York City and tsunamis in New York City, because it's a dormant tectonic plate. But the buildings fell, and now we were feeling tremors. The Deutsche Bank building was filled with mold, and they had to implode that building. That was the only building they had to implode. The only building they had to implode was the Deutsche Bank building, which was to the north, because it was mold infested after the buildings fell. All the other buildings fell on their own because of the mini earthquakes. There was mini earthquakes down there. It was shaking pretty hard. The ground was shaking as we were walking. Okay, so yeah, there were major tremors down there because those buildings fell and that activated the tectonic plate. Even the local news here recognized the tectonic plate. And if you look on a seismic map, you can see the tectonic plate. The ground was literally shaking, like mini earthquakes. Seriously, like mini earthquakes. All the other buildings were repaired. You know, a long time took to repair a lot of those buildings adjacent. A lot of damage to Trump Plaza and Trump Building. There was a lot of damage to the atrium on the other side, on the right, when the South Tower fell because it was leaning to the right. And the hotel that was, you know, pretty much close and part of World Trade Center also fell. It was a Holiday Inn, I believe. And I finally got to that last ferry. And I got on that ferry, and I breathed a sigh of relief. And then the ferry starts going away. And this ferry is packed. Yes. 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 I didn't see that building fall. But with the amount of tremors that were going on down there, they were pretty bad tremors. I'm... Basically, because that building was damaged. That building was damaged beyond repair. They didn't show it on TV, okay? But that building was damaged on the right side, okay? And being that building was damaged on the right side, it was flailing, right? It was flailing more to the right, you know, because the building fell down straight. That North Tower fell down straight, right? And it hit the right side of the building. So I'm gathering it was the mini earthquakes that brought it down. There's a tectonic plate there. New York City stands on a tectonic plate. So right now, we got to the end of the story. BIRN, we're going to see you next week, okay? We're going to come back. We're going to be right here on Instagram to finish off the show. All right, if you want to come to Instagram, you can hear the rest of the show. We're going to open it up to people to come up, talk about their 9/11 experience. So thank you, everybody here on BIRN. Stick around right here on Instagram. We'll see you guys later. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys listening tonight. Thank you for being here for me and supporting me, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Everybody here on BIRN, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.